Good evening, everybody. So today I have with me Brian McGrane, musician, singer, songwriter from Ireland. Brian has toured with Celtic Woman for 5 years, selling out the biggest venues in the world, from the Red Rocks Co., Radio City New York, the Sydney Opera House, and much more. Brian has also toured with Celtic tenors Brian Kennedy, Phil Coulter, Sharon Corr, and has produced lots of music for upcoming artists. So, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to come today. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Maybe start with telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you ended up following a musical career.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always good to chit chat about to new people about stuff that you kind of forget, I suppose. So yeah, I grew up in Navan, County Meath. Both parents didn't go too far to find each other, both Navan people all their lives. And yeah, my dad has his own business in the town, and my mother works in the local parish. And when I was very, very young, my mother was always quite musical with piano, and she sang a lot in choirs. And on my dad's side of the family, my grandmother handed me down this tiny little keyboard with about 25 keys and about 6 batteries in the back. And I had never any interest in, you know, watching TV or anything like that. So I started to play along all the advertisement music on the TV. And I suppose fast forward 5 or 6 years, my dad then had bought me a bigger keyboard and a real piano, and I started to take lessons. But it was only really, I suppose, when I was in secondary school, I started to play out live. When I was 16 or 17, we formed a rock band in St. Pat's in Navan. And we toured up and down the country, did all the venues, all the pubs and clubs, and we were in there, illegal and all as we were gigging away for everybody. And yeah, I suppose I never really, my parents always wanted me to get the real job, as I suppose most parents do. So I went to college for product design in DIT. And a funny story, through product design, a girl in my course, she won't mind me mentioning her name, Emily Brady, her father works with Windmill Lane and has big connections with PBS in the US, the Public Broadcasting Service. And the PBS broadcast all of the Celtic Woman TV specials. So Emily gave me a couple of free tickets to see a Celtic Woman shoot in the Helix in Dublin. I went along on my own and I was kind of blown away by it. So I reached out to a friend of mine, David Downs, a close friend now, wasn't a friend back then. Reached out to David, and about 2 weeks later, I had an audition. And a week later, the day of the All-Ireland hurling final in September 2013, I got a phone call to say I was going to Germany on tour with Celtic Woman. I was 23 at the time. So yeah, it was a big shock from, you know, doing small shows and small pubs and clubs around Ireland to being told you're playing the O2, you're opening the tour in the O2 arena in Dusseldorf in Germany.
To show you though, when you talk and you know, you reach out to people, they want to help. You know, if you've got talent, people with talent want to help people and help them and lift them along the way. I didn't realize you were a Navan man. My yeah. Family are living in Liver, but they
right.
Moved many years ago. But Navan's beautiful. Yeah, that's really good. I'm impressed with that. So when you were younger, did you have friends that were into music as well? Was your mum and dad into music?
It's my mother always played the piano, but she would never really say that. And she still does sing in the local church choir, which, you know, it's one of her main hobbies, I suppose, alongside tennis. The singing in the choir is one of the things that keeps her going and keeps a lot of her friends going, you know.
Absolutely. What did they feel when you just said, right, to your parents, I'm going to, after never having talked about this before, and then all of a sudden you're going touring with this amazing band, how did they feel? Did they try to keep you at home? I mean, you were 23, no. So how old are you now?
I am 34 now, so that's 11 years ago. Yeah.
You've achieved so much.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose when you look back on the time, you don't realize how much you've done, and you're always looking to do more, you know, as you should. But sometimes even conversations like this with you today, Kira, is good to, you know, even reflect on a few things that you've done.
And absolutely, and reintroduce yourself. Because over the years, people do tend to start to follow you, and they may know you and your musicality, but they mightn't know you as a person and how you got to where you are. And I do think it's important because we should embrace where we're from and how we got there. I mean, looking at some of the notes on you, you've worked and been around Phil Coulter. People, I mean, we idolize Phil and all these artists in Ireland. How did that feel to be working with these people? Surely they inspired you growing up.
Yeah, definitely. I think initially the Celtic Woman, that whole Celtic Woman era for me, put me in among a lot of people who were, you know, at the same level of performing and touring and songwriting. So I suppose if you go from Celtic Woman to other tours, it kind of feels like you're just moving sideways as opposed to a big massive jump, because you're kind of used to that. You're used to... I don't want to say level because that sounds cocky.
No, I was once told, I know what you're saying, but I was once told by a good friend of mine, excellence always finds its own level. So whatever you're on par with, you know, you'll attract more people like that. And, you know, we're all on a journey and we all try to help lift people up along the way. But I know what you mean, of course.
Humble
Navan man coming out in you.
Well, there's plenty of talent that's come out of Navan between Hector and Tommy and Brian Byrne, obviously, is living over here now. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Funny story, actually. Brian Byrne's brother, Paul Byrne, they actually have a hairdresser's in Navan. But the Byrnes are a very, very musical family in Navan. And Paul Byrne taught me piano. But Brian Byrne has been living in the States for 15, 20 years, maybe. And he's an extraordinary talent. He's been nominated for multiple big awards and Grammys, and film scoring is his thing, along with jazz piano style stuff. So
I did have a man on last week as well, and he's only starting out in his career. He just released a single, a Christmas single, David Cassidy, and I did put it out. I said he's going to be big. He's got a really, really unique voice, and he's just been called. There's a record studio in Navan, is that right? You're close by. He's just been called. Yeah, he's been called in Thursday, I think, next week to talk about doing more music with this guy. So please God, something good comes out of it, because you're right, there is a lot of good talent from Navan.
Yeah, there is. What's his name again?
David Cassidy.
Cassidy.
That's you look at my podcast, I think I only shared his interview yesterday. Yeah, David Cassidy. If you look at it,
I'll have a look at him and be sure to share him along the way.
Yeah, and I'll tell him to follow you too. And I mean, that's very impressive. So now you're in Nashville. How did you end up in Nashville?
So more mad stories, I suppose. COVID happened, and I actually hate talking about COVID because it's just, you know, it's in the past and it's long ago, but it did change the way a lot of things happened and the way a lot of online shows happen now. But anyway, pre-COVID, I was getting a little bit tired of touring, and I was on the road with the Celtic Tenors at the time, and I just thought, I'm finished with this, you know, I've had enough of the touring stuff. And then COVID happened and we had a break for 2 years. So I think it was the middle of 2021, I was living with a few friends in Navan, and I got a phone call from Matthew Gilston from the Tenors, and he said, Brian, look, we're going back out on the road, we'd love to have you. What's the chances? I know you've kind of let us know you're not coming out, but would you be interested? And I said, oh, let me think about it. So I got off the phone and my friend Sean said, Brian, you're absolutely mad. You've been sitting here at home for the last 2 years. You've the opportunity now to get back out to the US, do some shows, make some money and travel again. And it just clicked with me. I said, you know what? I'm gone. So I hopped on the plane and that was March 22. And I met a girl on that tour out here on the road on March 12th in Orlando. And we had a bit of a lock-in, a classic Irish style. We had a bit of a lock-in in an Irish bar in Orlando till about 4 a.m. singing Irish tunes.
You do? So,
and then, you know, the rest of the tour finished and we kept in touch and we were over and back to each other for the guts of a year and a half. And I had always wanted to move to Nashville. About 6 years ago, when I was still in Celtic Woman, I had spent a good bit of time out here, you know, trying this songwriting and that kind of stuff. And I'd always wanted to be out here. So it kind of just made sense that I tried it now that I had, you know, a valid excuse to actually just come out and be here. So yeah, we've been here for the last year.
Is that the blonde lady in your platforms?
No. So no. That brings me to another area, another project that I'm working on, and that's a project called The Brave Collide with a very close friend of mine, Chloe Agnew. So no, Chloe's not my partner. That gets mixed up all the time, but I think we just laugh it off at this point. So yeah, we're in a group called The Brave Collide. We started that about 2-3 years ago, and we last May was actually our first headline tour, and we started that. We did two shows in New York, and it was kind of a pretty surreal thing. I've been so used to doing, you know, bigger shows and just arriving and everything's done for you, and then suddenly the two of us are on the road on our own, sorting out hotel accommodation, cars, venues, deals, contracts. We had the best time ever, though. We had an absolute blast, and it went down so well. So ever since, we have been writing a lot of new music, and we've got a bunch of shows coming up next month with another Scottish artist, actually. His name is Grieger, Griogar. And yeah, we're currently in the middle of writing our album, so we should be popping that out sometime next year.
I think that will be a treat for us all, because I've just, you can see these guys on Instagram, and your voices complement each other, and it's really nice, actually. I've just been listening to it before we came online today, and well done and congratulations to that. And yes, going on tour and having to do all those things that were done for you can be quite overwhelming.
I know.
Growing up, I suppose, in Navan, when you started when you were 23, so you were quite young, but growing up as a kid, I mean, there's not much to do. You know, I know myself from moving to Dublin and moving to the country, which is nice because I've got the best of both worlds at that point. And I suppose Navan is a bit bigger, but did you find that you were inspired solely just on music? You didn't want to go out with friends. Friends weren't. What inspired you, I suppose, when you were younger, or who inspired you?
It's a good question. Yeah. I think it was always in my nature to create things. And I don't really know if it was specific to music, but I, to this day, I always remember my mother says to me, even still today, "Oh, Brian, you used to go into the shed and just pick up random pieces of wood and get, you know, your dad's toolbox and just start making a table or making a little stool." Now, it might be absolutely wonky and it might not hold
that belief, Brian, in yourself that you can do that. A lot of us now think we need a degree. You look back years ago, I always say this to my friends, if you go into Bliver, there's nobody that's qualified for being a mechanic, but there's not one person that will be given money over to a mechanic to fix their car. They will know how to change their wheels, change the oil, do all the things mechanically, because that's what it was back then. People saved on a few pounds. Now we're kind of at an era that we think we need these qualifications to do this, whereas obviously you were independent thinking and knew that you could do it. So perhaps if music didn't work out for you, you could have been an engineer.
Well, that, you know, funny you say it. I studied product design in college, and when the month I graduated, my best friend, who was actually the drummer in our secondary school band, he offered me a job in the same company, engineering company, that he was working with in Galway. And I remember driving home on the motorway, getting the text from him. He said, "There's an interview there for you if you want it." And I just had to say no. It just wasn't really what I was into, you know, at the time. But
the call and creativity has no limits. And obviously you were thinking bigger even back then. So you sing, you write songs, you play instruments. What instruments can you play?
So my main instrument is the piano. I'd say kind of 50-50 piano, guitar, really. But I kind of think that the piano was my first. And I play drums, I sing, I produce, and, you know, I kind of dabble in a few other instruments, but I wouldn't call myself a baron player, even though I can, you know, I can record a few bits. If there's any Bowron players listening, they'll laugh at me. So, but yeah, the piano is actually something that I've dived into a lot more in the last 3 or 4 months. And I have a brand new project, which is my baby at the moment. It's called Engrain, Engrane.
Beautiful. I'm looking that up. Yeah.
I've got a new Instagram page with 250 followers. Absolutely massive. And it's
substance. Doesn't matter about the followers.
I know. But it's all kind of atmospheric, relaxing, ambient stuff. Now, I'm not going to probably just keep it to that, but that's kind of where it lies at the moment. And I've got some collaborations earmarked for some string players and some other instrumentalists out here in Nashville, which I need to dig into in the next couple of weeks. And yeah, so when last month when we were on tour with the Celtic Tenors, I opened up the set for the Celtic Tenors with some of my new instrumental stuff. And the boys and the tenors, I really do have to hand it to them for, you know, giving me that opportunity year in, year out to perform, whether it be some of my own songs, some Brave Collide songs, or now this new Engrain piano project. They've been very good at, you know, giving me my space on stage on my own to do that for, you know, for a couple of numbers.
I don't blame you. You're producing good stuff, Brian. It's excellent, to be fair. I wish I picked up years ago an instrument or something, because anytime, and particularly now this month when we're talking to all the singer-songwriters and artists, it's inspiring me. Maybe I might go back and do a few lessons. You're inspiring me. Do you find when you're writing music that the music comes to you, or songs, do you find that you kind of wake up and you have the words, or you have a beat in your head, or do you feel that you have to work hard towards making something, or is it just this natural fluidity? What is it?
I don't know. So yesterday and the day before, Chloe was over in my studio here in Nashville. Chloe Agnew, were in the Brave Collide together, and we were writing some new material for the Brave Collide, for the new album. And today is Saturday. So Thursday, we had a session and we wrote an absolute beautiful song. It was just a gorgeous song. And we probably finished it in 2.5-3 hours, start to finish. And then yesterday, we had another writing session, just the two of us, and we spent about 6 hours on a song, and it's good, but my head and my, you know, creative energy just wasn't near as good as it was the day before. So I don't know, you could probably get into conversations about, you know, sleep and our food, or, you know, did you have
even
too much coffee?
Brian, when I was writing my first book in 2020, I remember one day living with my friend Alec, and I remember one day I went out. I was doing, I think, the 100 miles for February or something. And I remember coming back, and from morning to night, when I came back from my run that day, I wrote a whole chapter, did not stop. At one point, Alec came up 3 or 4 times, but he came up and he says, "Are we going to have dinner today?" Because I used to do cooking. I was just so in the flow, and it was just coming to me. And that's never happened again since. And I was trying to think, what did I do?
What book is that, Kira? I must actually have a look.
So it's My Secret Me. It hasn't been published, and I'm on the verge. I've got a huge social media. Well, not compared to some people, but in the last 2 years, I've built up my social media, and I'm only new to Instagram. And I'm just so close to saying, will I allow everyone to know this about me, or do I keep this? And to me, it was a healing. It was a tool to heal over the years and put everything down. But, you know, my partner, my husband, is always saying, Kira, you need to just get it out there. You've worked so hard doing it. Like, let it, so what? This is your past. This is what made you you. So, yeah, maybe I will publish it in September sometime.
I think that'd be great.
My Secret Me is what it's called, but you'll see it on my story.
Okay, Instagram. I mean, your Instagram and your social media has been on point. It's it's a tricky thing to get right, but you've done a really good job on it. You know?
Thank you. I do appreciate you saying that, because, you know, we spend so much time doing this and sharing our lives on social media. It's nice to get that feedback. So thank you.
I think the social media side of things is a pain in the ass, but to be honest with you, it's important.
It is important. And even me now, I wouldn't be the best at technology, but I do enough to get by, and I read up what's important, when you should, you know, put stories up, blah, 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 blah. But it seems to be working. So please God, it will go steady. Can you give us an example before you go? maybe of a setback or something that I suppose as a musician that you'd face? What would your hurdles be? I mean, it sounds like you've had a beautiful, but we know everything isn't always great. So share something and how you overcame it, I suppose, or could combat it at the time.
Yeah, I think finances as a solo, as an independent musician or an artist is the one thing that I see time and time again just messing people up. And, you know, I'm lucky enough now that I've worked and I've figured it out. For now, you know, things are always changing, but I have figured it out. And yeah, I remember, you know, the very first, or I suppose after the first two long US tours I did. So I said the first one was 2013, the second 2014. And when you go on the road for 6 months and you come home with a ball of money and then you spend it all because you don't really have any structure or any, you know, you don't have any other line of work to get into. So you missed a lot of, you know, parties and friends and, you know, weddings and all that kind of stuff. So you end up overcompensating for the time that you're away and you spend a ton of money. And you don't really then ever realize or know how to handle it. I think that's one thing that can trip people up. Even if you're not doing big tours, like lengthy tours, I think just musicians in general, it's such an unstable industry that if you can find something that can tick over in the background that gives you X amount of a month so that you know you can lean on that and it'll cover your costs and maybe your rent and your basic bills, then you can be creative. But I see so many like extremely talented people, but they're just struggling a little bit financially and the creativity cannot come out in that circumstance. It just, stress and creativity are two different.
That's very true. I see it in different careers myself over here as well in the UK. Do you make time to have maybe some meditation or just to come away from work so that you can allow that creativity to flow through you?
Yeah, well, I started meditating in 2017 and I have not done it every single day since, for anybody who thinks I have. But, you know, in the last 6 months, I realized I hadn't really been doing it as much as I wanted to. And I think my new piano project is now my new meditation. So my morning would just really consist of getting up, doing my journaling, going to the gym, shower, and then straight to the piano for an hour. And whatever comes out in that hour, I record it and I upload it to my, similar to a SoundCloud account, but it's called Disco. And I upload that piece of music and it lives there on a private playlist online. And I know that I have created something for the day and it doesn't have to be perfect or finished, but at least I can come back to it then.
That's very nice.
So instead of me spending, you know, a half an hour sitting and breathing with my eyes closed, I think I spend that half an hour sitting, breathing at the piano with my eyes probably half closed anyway.
Yeah, but that's beautiful that you can do that. And it's just about finding that something that kind of brings you away from the reality of the world that we're living in. I do TM meditation and I'm a very hyperactive person by nature, but I find it very good, to be fair. And I didn't think I would at the start. I did struggle, but transcendental meditation. Okay. Yeah. It's really, really good. You're kind of saying a mantra. You go with somebody and you have to have three continuous days with this person, your mentor, your shaman, and they'll give you a mantra that you say then. And I have to say, it's been very good.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people talking about transcendental meditation and I always wanted to try it, but I never.
Do you know why I find it's good, Brian? Because if you think of meditation, when you close your eyes, what's the first thing we do? Our heads get very full and we're thinking, oh, we should be doing this, or you should be thinking, oh, you're at the piano, or I'm thinking I should be doing this, that, and the other. And then we feel like, oh, well, we're not meditating because we're getting all this stuff in when we try to close our eyes. But with transcendental meditation, they give you, let's just pretend the mantra is one word saying angel, angel, or gratitude, gratitude, love, whatever the word is, right? I've got my own one, you're not allowed to repeat it. But you're saying that, and as you're saying that, it's vibrating out and you go deeper into that state. There was a good analogy my TM teacher said to me. So think of a bowl of water and imagine that the bowl of water had nothing in it. It's just water. And you have a blue or whatever color dye beside it. And you get a piece of cloth. You dip the cloth into the dye and then you pour it in the water. First, it's going to be like a diluted maiwadi or cordial. Then you dip it again. He says, every time you're doing that meditation, you're going deeper. And how right he was. It is. It's fascinating. Brian, I just want to say thank you so much for giving us your time today. I can't wait to see what else is in the pipeline for you because you have your hands at everything.
Well, yeah, I have hands on a few things. Once nothing gets out of control and I keep things moving in the right direction, yeah.
Absolutely. Have you met anybody famous over there yet?
Have I? I mean, I've seen a few artists live. I haven't actually met anybody in person. No, I don't think so.
It's quite but busy. When I went to Nashville, they were turning more rock and roll as opposed to country. I wanted my country and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there's still a lot of country. I mean, I'd say it's probably primarily, 50-60% country and then the other 40% is rock and roll, pop, everything else. But the percentage of country to everything else is kind of shrinking a little bit.
Yeah, I've seen that. Did you go to see Elvis's house?
I did, not since I moved here, but I have seen it.
Graceland.
A couple of years back, yeah, it's fascinating. That's have you seen it?
I did, I went a couple of years ago and I was in awe. Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Ryan. McGrain, thank you so much. Lovely to catch up and best of luck and congratulations on all the success.
Thanks for having me, Kira. I've got a new Instagram buddy to keep an eye on as well.
Absolutely. Brian, just before we go, actually, can you give us what way can we contact you best for the listeners?
Yeah, so Instagram is ngrain, ngrane, or you can get Brian McGrain Music. Facebook is the same, TikTok the same. So it's just Ngrain and Brian McGrain.
Perfect.
And then obviously the Brave Collide. If you want to have a look there, you can see our stuff on Spotify and
brilliant.
Everything is all of the places, to be honest. You know, once you have the names,
you're everywhere. Brilliant, okay. Brian. Great stuff. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too, Kira. Thanks for having me. Appreciate that.